Hello, and welcome to the Assembly Podcast. We pray that the Word of God will encourage you to live your life for Him, and that your life will be forever changed by the power of His Word. Stay tuned now for today's message, and remember, there is always a place for you at the Assembly.
Our study of the minor prophets, and there's about 11 or 12 of those fellows that we're marching our way through, and we're getting help and talking about these. And so tonight, I've asked Pastor Robbie to come back. He did a fantastic job a few weeks ago talking about Jonah and his story, and spoke to my heart quite directly in that message. I know the Lord has given him a message as well. I just know anytime a guy is working 12 to 13 hours a day, 6 or 7 days a week, and still wants to come preach, it's because God's put something in his heart for us to hear. And so, Robbie, I appreciate you, brother. Come and share the Word of God with us. Would you make him feel welcome tonight?
Thank you, Pastor. I was not here Sunday. I missed you guys. I normally work 40 hours a week at the mill in Morrilton, but they had a Tenenbaum is a metal recycling processing plant in Little Rock where they crunch cars and all that stuff. They had a bunch of stuff that needed fixed, so we worked 12 hours after 40. We worked 12 hours Friday, 13 Saturday, 12 Sunday, and 12 Monday. And then I worked yesterday and today at the mill. So it's been, today is day 10 in a row. And but I did miss you guys this Sunday. And I am very honored to be here again. And my heart is heavy tonight. Just your song choices tonight. I don't know what God has for us tonight, but I guarantee you one thing, the darkness is going to tremble tonight. And there's only one reason the darkness trembles, and that's because the Word of God is being brought forth. Being brought forth. Tonight, we're going to be in the book of Haggai. It is somewhere in the Old Testament in the midst of all the minor prophets. page 1381. Past Pastor 1381. I guess I better put my glasses on. Everything's blurry up here, and I'm crying, and I can't see through my tears. And whew. All right, where are we at? I got stickers. I got smiley faces with clown noses in my Bible. Clowns are angels. They've been in there for about 12 years. A great bookmarks. Okay. All right. Here we are. You know, when I spoke on Amos a couple weeks ago, I mentioned that prophets were not liked very well because usually the word that they bring is not a likable message. And I got a feeling we got the same kind of thing going on tonight. But it will change you if you let it sink into your heart. We're in Haggai 1, verse 1. It says, in the second year of Darius the king, on the first day of the sixth month, the word of the Lord came by the prophet Haggai to Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and to Joshua, the son of Jehozadak, the high priest, saying, thus says the Lord of hosts, this people says, the time has not come, even the time for the house of the Lord to be rebuilt. Then the word of the Lord came to Haggai the prophet, saying, it is time for you yourselves to dwell in your panel houses while this house lies desolate. Now, therefore, thus saith the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. You have sown much, but harvest little. You eat, but there is not enough to be satisfied. You drink, but there is not enough to become drunk. You put on clothing, but no one is warm enough. And he who earns wages to put into a purse with holes. Thus says the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. Father, I pray that your anointing will flow tonight as it already has. God, your worship has plowed the ground of the hearts of this people to receive the seed of the word tonight. And I pray, God, that the harvest is bountiful. In Jesus' name, amen. So we've been talking about the minor prophets, and this kind of goes along with Amos. You know, Jonah and Amos prophesied about coming destruction. They said, destruction is coming to the Assyrians. And you know, in my studies, I told you about how terrible the Assyrians were. And I listened to some things and read some things in the last 2 weeks that made what I told you seem mild compared to what they actually did. And I'm not going to go into the details, but the Assyrians were terrible. God prophesied. God said that there is coming destruction. 60 years prior to this, Isaiah prophesied the destruction of King Solomon's temple. King Solomon's temple was something that we couldn't even fathom in our minds. The size, all the gold, all the, just everything that was in the temple. I mean, it's so much to study. It's so much to intake. I couldn't even begin to scratch the surface. But in 612 BC, the Babylonians came in and defeated the Assyrians. Just got to give you a little bit of history. You know how I am. A guy had background. I want you to understand where we're at tonight. The Babylonians defeated the Assyrians, and this is when the exile happened. This is when the 70 years that they were in exile, this is when it started. And you know, something I remember, you know, this is, you know, me, I'm a fun fat guy. You know, when they took exile, they took the best of the Jews. The smartest, the brightest, Daniel. I have a hard time saying Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego because we always had this joke, is your Shack, my Shack, and Abednego. You know, so every time I go to say those three names, it's that kind of rings in my mind. And they took the best and the brightest. And they were in exile for 70 years. And you got to understand, in 586 BC, we're talking about 26 years later, the temple was absolutely destroyed by the Babylonians. I'm talking leveled. Everything carried away, done, gone, after it's been standing for 400 years. 70 years, they're in Babylon. They're in a new culture. With new religions. How many people were born? How many Jews were born into something they had no clue about the past? Temple worship. I mean, can you understand what destruction of God's temple, what the destruction of that meant for the Jews? They were lost. They were lost in a place that they didn't know. And you know, when they were exiled, where they were exiled to was 1,000 miles from where they lived. It took them 4 to 5 months to travel to get there. They were 1,000 miles away from home, what they knew to be home. Fifty years later, in 536 BC, Babylon fell. And it ended the exile. The Persians came in. And here's the difference between the Persians and the Babylonians. The Babylonians, they took everybody away into exile. But the Persians, they had religious tolerance. Okay? Their king, he wanted everybody to be happy. He didn't want turmoil and conflict. He wanted everybody to live together, be happy. So he was totally different. And in 536 BC, there was a leader called Zerubbabel. He was a leader of the tribe of Judah. The king of Babylon gave an edict to Zerubbabel. He made him governor and said, go back to your home, rebuild your temple. At this time, it's estimated there was over 1 million Jews in the Persian Empire, the area. 1 million. This is from the exile. That all, you know, people getting married, having kids, and it's expanded to 1 million people, and only 40,000 Jews went back to what they knew. Out of 1 million. Here's the thing. How many of those million people actually remember or knew about the former practices? Temple worship, sacrifices. Most of them were born into Babylon. I mean, it'd be like us moving over to a different country and having kids that are raised up in a different language, different culture. But God touched the king and he said, go back. Build your temple. 2 years, they worked on building it. They laid the foundation. Everything comes to a screeching halt because the Samaritans next door were causing trouble. And here's the thing. The king, he did not just say, okay, go back and build your temple. He's like, here is a lot of money and resources to help you. So he was really interested in seeing that they were happy. Now, you know, I am a children's pastor, and I have not had very much fun with you guys, you know. I've had fun, but I haven't really. And, you know, I've got something here I want to show you, if I can find it. Because it talks about, you know, Isaiah prophesied 60 years prior to this, if I can find my place, you know, about the rebuilding of the temple. You know, so 586, the temple was destroyed, right? I mean, they absolutely destroyed the temple. I mean, they tore it down brick by brick by brick. But Isaiah had gotten a word from God. And he said that the temple would be rebuilt. Even after it was destroyed. So now's the time. We're in Haggai. Almost 520 BC, construction continues. Now, let's talk about Haggai. Haggai is an interesting guy. It's estimated that Haggai is at this time 70 to 80 years of age. He's an old guy. Older. Let me correct myself before I get in trouble with my friend. Older. Now, I've been a pastor for 15 years. Pastor, how long have you been in ministry? 1997, so 21 years. Haggai's ministry lasted 15 weeks. That's it. 15 weeks. I feel like there are certain individuals that are here tonight to hear certain words that God has to say tonight, and here is one of them. No matter what your age, no matter what you got going on, God can use you. His ministry lasted 15 weeks. 15 weeks. And he was 70. Let me tell you about somebody else that was in their 70s when God used them mightily. Do you know who else was in their 70s when God did something amazing through them? Daniel. Daniel was in his 70s when he was in the lion's den. 70s. After 120 leaders and all their resources could not find one bad thing to say about Daniel's entire life. 70 years. 70 is a good number. All right, let me find my spot here. So in 520, the construction resumed, and in 516, the temple was finished. Haggai's ministry started 520 BC. This is where we get into the Word and some of the things God has for you tonight. Three simple words. Consider your ways. God is asking us tonight, as he was asking his people in this moment, consider your ways. Because here's what was happening. They got to come back home. And did they worry about rebuilding God's house? Was God a priority? Negative, Ghost Rider. The pattern was definitely full. Then verse 3, we're back in verse 3. Then the word of the Lord came by Haggai the prophet, saying, is it time for you yourselves to dwell in your paneled houses? Why this house lies desolate. And God's talking about his temple that got destroyed. Now, I did a research on paneled houses. And here's what I found. Paneled houses, at this time period, basically, the ceilings and walls were lined with cedar. And it was a sign of prosperity. It was a sign of you had money. For us, it'd be like living in Greystone. I'm sorry, just kidding. I'm losing myself here. God was basically scolding them, saying, you are more worried about your material possessions than focusing on me. And you know what? That theme right there is rampant in our world today. You got to understand, as pastors and people that minister, you don't have to be a pastor to be ministering. People that minister to other people, that speak words of wisdom, to speak, do anything to encourage people in God. Okay, you got to understand. When we study this kind of stuff, it hurts. It brings hard conviction on our own lives. I like my material things. I don't want to give up my Xbox One. I don't. I had a little jealousy this past week because my 15-year-old daughter got an Apple Watch. And I ain't got an Apple Watch. We can get wrapped up in material things. And God's saying, focus on me, not that stuff. Because here's the thing. The Bible says that our life on this earth is as a wisp of smoke. Here today, gone tomorrow. Consider your ways. What are you doing with your time and your possessions? Is it here? Or here? This is a tough question right here. It's a great sermon title, Pastor. Are you a consumer or are you a contributor? Are you just consuming, consuming, consuming? Because that's what these people were doing. They were living in their fancy houses, having parties. You have sown much, but harvest little. You eat, but there's not enough to be satisfied. You drink, but there is not enough to become drunk. You put on clothing, but there is no one is warm enough. And he who earns wages to put into a purse with holes. Thus saith the Lord to the host, consider your ways. When God says something twice, I mean, I'm just going to be honest, as men, usually we have to be told twice. Wives would say, okay, sorry guys. Consider your ways. Go up to the mountain, bring wood, and rebuild the temple that I may be pleased with it and be glorified, says the Lord. We serve a merciful, gracious God who has given everything for us. Don't you think that he probably got tired of all the hypocrisy, all of the people that they would serve him, then they'd turn and serve other gods, then they'd bring another king, and they'd come back to him. Just a cycle. Don't you think God probably got a little irritated? I think so. Not that that's a bad thing. Go up to the mountains, bring wood, and rebuild the temple that I may be pleased. So obviously, he wasn't pleased. Correct? I think he's a little irritated. He's not pleased. To me, not pleased means a little irritated. With it and be glorified. You look for much, but behold, it comes to little. When you bring it home, I blow it away. Why? Declares the Lord of hosts. Okay. This is... You look for much, but behold, it comes to little. When you bring it home, I blow it away. So basically, they're not getting everything they should get, right? That's what they're talking about. I blow it away. God is doing this. And this is what it says, declares the Lord of hosts. Why? Declares the Lord of hosts. Because of my house, which lies desolate, while each of you runs to his own house. That's pretty clear. God is withholding blessings because they were not focusing on him. That's the bad news. And it goes on to say further what God was doing because of their disobedience. I called for a drought on the land, on the mountains, on the grain, on the new wine, on the oil, on what the ground produces, we're in verse 11, on men, on cattle, and on all labor of your hands. God was doing this. Not the people, our God. Because the people were living in their own stuff. Their own, worried about their own belongings. I'll say this once, I'll say it a million times. It's hard to grasp sometimes that everything we have is not ours. Everything. Everything we have has been given to us or allowed us to have by God. We are on this earth for one purpose. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, and soul. And your neighbor as yourself. That's everybody. Some people think that the Great Commission is the number one priority, which it's very important. Go ye therefore, make disciples of all, you know, teaching. But number one is to love God, love your neighbor. That's it. If you love God and you love everybody, what do you think you're going to be doing? You're going to be focused right here. Married couples in the house, let me tell you. If you will focus on God first, here, husband, Hear, wife, focus on God. What happens? You will draw closer to each other. Guaranteed. Your marriage will be better. Your relationships will be better. God wants our attention. Not some of it, but all of it. Now, is there anything wrong with our marriages, enjoying our spouses' time, our kids, golfing, whatever you like to do? No. But is that your main focus? When it becomes your main focus, God gets a little jealous. Because it becomes the big I word, idolatry. One of the Ten Commandments. Verse 12, then Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, and Joshua, the son of Jehozadak, the high priest, with all the remnant of the people, obeyed the voice of the Lord their God and the words of Haggai the prophet, as the Lord their God had sent him. The people showed reverence for the Lord. They changed their hearts. They changed their minds. Verse 13, and Haggai, the messenger of the Lord, spoke by the commission of the Lord to the people, saying, I am with you, declares the Lord. Simple. Obedience, I am with you. Disobedience, no blessing. And the stuff you have, nothing. I give myself away to you. My life is not my own. Do you consider your life your own? I'm going to tell a quick story. When I was in Bible college, I worked at Cracker Barrel. I went from being an iron worker to a server. And dishwasher, and cook, and whatever else they needed me to do at Cracker Barrel. In my own mind, I was providing for my family. So much to the point, I lost my job over something silly. I'm talking fired. Now, I had to come home to my brand new wife, who I am sole provider, and say, I don't have a job. And this is what God told me. Don't go looking for a job. I want you to sit at home. Because you need to learn how to depend on me for everything. I'm a man. I'm a very prideful man. I take a lot of pride in what I do. I didn't just sit at home, of course, but I didn't look for a job. 6 months, I watched God provide for my family, my bills, and everything for 6 months while I didn't work. God has it all. It's a simple formula to get to it. Obedience. Consider your ways. Where is your focus? are so many different areas of our lives that we need to consider our ways. Some would say, I can't give God that much money. It's too much. I can't pay my bills. I'm talking about tithing. Because it's something that is so clear to me and something I believe in so wholeheartedly. Obedience. The word says it. But it's not just, okay, God's saying, give me 10%. He's saying, if you give 10%, I will open up the gates of heaven and pour out a blessing that you can't even contain, that you can't even understand. It's a promise. There was a 90-year-old woman that was on her deathbed. Served God all of her life. When she passed away, her son found her Bible. And in the margins, all throughout the Bible, there were the letters TP. Nobody could ever figure it out. But she had told one person. They were all promises in the Bible. Tested. Proved. Malachi is the only place in the Bible that said God says, test me in this and see. Try me. See if I will not open up. I challenge you. You know, I'm not going to challenge you. I just have felt this all evening, Pastor. If God has spoken to you tonight about considering your ways in any part of your life, as Megan sings this song, these steps right here is where you need to be. Considering your ways, giving yourself to God. Life is not your own. You have no ownership in it. It belongs to God. Everything you have belongs to God. And I'll be the first one to say, I'm going to be right here. I just want everybody to bow your heads right now. Father, as we have heard your word tonight, God, you have moved me to this place. God, I believe that you have spoke to your people. And there are people here that want to change their ways. God, as we go into this next moment, your people come down here to consider their ways. God, bless them for their obedience. Show them your will for their life.
Thank you for listening to the Assembly Podcast. We hope you were strengthened by the Word of God today. The Assembly is growing and our ministries are doing big things for Jesus. If you are in the Cabot area, come by and check us out on Sundays at 10 a.m. and Wednesdays at 7 p.m. For more information, visit our website at theassemblycabot.com or check us out on Facebook and Instagram.